Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Joe Beningo and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. On WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no. Gotta go to Joe and on your AM dial, 101.9 FM, Joe and Evan, on the fan, Joe and Evan, on WFAN.
All right, 10:04 on the fan, and a very good Tuesday morning to you, the midday show, Joe Beningo, Evan Roberts, 877-337-6666 is the phone number. Hit the 1 o'clock today, of course, CMB will come your way, and then Mike after that. Dolph Kramer, Ernie Acosta on the other side of the glass. We're coming to you live from the Black Bear Studio. Delicious Black Bear deli meats and cheeses only at ShopRite. Of course, the Black Bear Studios and the Mike Francesa chair is where I'm at right now. High above Hudson Street on the 10th floor in Lower Manhattan. Bro, how are you? The Mets didn't lose last night, so that was good.
I loved it.
And as Mike always says, when you play
a doubleheader, you split a doubleheader, okay? You
know, and that's what the Yankees did. They split a doubleheader.
You know what's interesting? Recco was telling me that in the history of baseball, or not the history of baseball, but in the last decade or so, 52% of the time, doubleheaders are swept. So you can sweep a doubleheader. More than half.
Right.
But the Yankees now have gone 8 straight without sweeping a doubleheader. And in 2018, also known as the year of the rainout, the year of the snowout, there have been only 3 sweeps and 13 splits. And you want to know why there's a lot of splits? I have a theory. I have a reason.
Tell me the reason.
So let's take a look at last night and yesterday afternoon. So the Yankees beat the Tigers in game one, typical. Severino's the ace. He's dominant. Right, they hit a bunch of home
3
runs.
3 homers, yep.
Austin Romine is the greatest backup catcher in the history of baseball.
Right.
And then you come to the night game, and because baseball players nowadays cannot play too much, if they play too much, God forbid, Greg Bird is not in the lineup. Tyler Austin's in the lineup.
Didi
Gregorius isn't in the lineup. And what boggles my mind about it, the Yankees didn't play Thursday. They didn't play Sunday. They're not going to play this Thursday yet. Hey, got to keep guys fresh, Joe. Got to give guys their day off.
Bro, I get it.
And so my not fact-based theory, emotion-based theory, is that the reason why it's tougher to sweep a doubleheader, that these managers are afraid to play half their guys in both games.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, look, I think money has a lot to do with that, to be very honest with you. I think that's part of the reason why. But, I mean, how many guys play 162 games anymore? How many guys play 150 games anymore?
But you know what?
That's got to be a short list.
You're right, and I'm not even asking that. And I get it. The Yankees are 38-18, okay?
I mean, I get that.
It's not the end of the world. I just want to express this thought.
Well, that makes sense.
The Yankees right now have so many off days and rainouts.
Yeah, that's true.
They could push Greg Bird to play both games.
You make a good point because rarely do you see guys, you know, you will see a lot of guys get rested in second games of doubleheaders.
Yeah.
You're definitely going to see that.
And is it really?
No question about it.
That necessary?
No, I understand.
I mean, is it?
Look.
Ask yourself this, and I'm going to try to figure it out.
I'll say this. Yeah. Having never played, obviously, I've never played in the major leagues. There has to be a serious, when you think about it, wear and tear over 162 games. I mean, there's no way that you are not, there's got to be some kind of minor something, aches and pains, whatever it may be, over 162 games. So I understand that. And I understand that maybe there's days you want to give guys rest. I get
that. I do too, yeah.
I get it.
Okay.
But I get what you're saying, too, about how, all right, you're off this day, you didn't play. You're going to be off this day, you're not going to play. You were off the file, you know, 3 days before that you didn't play. I get it. Yeah, I understand your point.
Because that truly is it. I do understand, like you said, we are being rational, that over the course of 162, with the travel
it's going to be wear and tear. I mean, there's absolutely no way. It's not as easy as we think it is.
No question. And I'll defend Aaron Boone and Joe Girardi when they give key guys day offs. I usually will. I just found yesterday tough to swallow.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Because the biggest problem the Yankees have had, here's the biggest issue.
Aaron Judge played both games.
Yeah, he did, but he had to DH one of them.
I know. He also struck out eight times.
No, I know. That was a tough day at the office.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it. Taking away Judge and Stanton, who played both games but had half a day offs in one of them because they DH one of them, there were three guys who played both games of the doubleheader as starters, and they're three really young guys. Miguel Andujar, Gleyber Torres, and Clint Frazier. Those are the three guys.
They are young.
But I get giving guys days off. I just think the Yankees' biggest issue right now, their biggest issue hasn't even been them. Their biggest issue is they don't play enough.
Yeah.
That's literally their biggest issue.
No, they've had a lot, and they got a lot. You know, they're backed up with a lot of doubleheaders coming up, and they're still, of course, complaining about the ESPN Sunday night game. They got to play before they play a doubleheader against the Orioles. No, my feeling on Sunday night baseball to begin with. They shouldn't have it.
Hey, in this case,
there should be no such thing as that.
Well, and if you're going to have Sunday night baseball, you should be careful about it. You should schedule it in a fair way. In fact, I'll go a step further. If you play Sunday night baseball, your team's not playing Monday. Why don't you schedule it that way? There's enough off days to figure that out. But no, ESPN and Major League Baseball is all about the last dollar. They want the sexiest matchup.
Of course.
So God forbid they schedule the Sunday night games before the season starts. And then you could organize something like that. But what's worse is that the Yankees have to play a doubleheader the next day.
Terrible.
And if the Yankees are going to boycott ESPN, that's fine. ESPN does their own boycotting. So why can't the Yankees boycott them?
I got no problem with
it. We don't have any ESPN workers on this show, on this station.
Nope.
So isn't that kind of a boycott in some weird way?
No.
So let the Yankees boycott. What the hell do I care?
Why not?
But anything to get the job done, because sometimes the only way to get things done is by hurting people financially. Now, I don't know if the Yankees boycotting SportsCenter is going to hurt them financially, or boycotting, an interview in the middle of the game is going to hurt them financially, but sometimes a boycott's all you got. Sometimes you need a good boycott.
Yeah, I guess.
Need one of those.
Are you and I boycotting anything soon?
Not yet. Not yet. I'm trying to think if I've ever boycotted anything.
I think I've boycotted a couple of Met games this year. I just couldn't deal with having to watch them lose again.
I think I boycotted, and I admit, and I feel bad admitting this because it didn't last long, I think I boycotted BP gas stations for a few weeks after the oil spill. Yeah, because I was ticked off about that.
Yeah, right.
But I feel bad because within a month, if it was a convenient gas station, I was going back.
Yeah, well.
So I wasn't a really good boycotter, and I apologize for that. I'm sorry. But as far as the Yankees are concerned, the Stanton thing is weird to me because...
Well, I get it. I understand why he did what he did yesterday. I mean, a guy hit him in the face a couple years ago.
Right.
Guy hit him yesterday.
Right.
So then he hits the home run, and he I didn't think what he did was so egregious. I mean, he flipped the bat.
No.
And the point, he wasn't even looking at him when he pointed. He kind of was going this way as he pointed to the
guy. I didn't have an issue with that because of the emotion, like you said. The fact that he got hit, he was hit years ago in the face.
Right,
the fact that he was hit again.
And, of course, in the rest of the year, face by somebody, I doubt you're going to forget it.
I totally get it. What I found weird was Stanton's explanation of what's okay after the game. Here's Stanton after the game about being hit by Mike Fiers. Here's Stanton after the game after being hit by Mike Fiers. I don't.
Yeah, if it's going to come up and in like that, then yeah, it does. Wasn't trying to hit me in that situation, but still, with the history like it, what happened, don't hit me.
I don't get that. He's saying, I understand he has to come up and in, but don't hit me?
Yeah.
You think he did? And you admitting he didn't do it on purpose.
Still.
What the hell's the issue?
But I got no issue with that, and I'll tell you why. Because the guy got hit in the face already by this guy once. Don't be hitting me again. You want to come up and in, that's fine. You want to get close to me, it's one thing. Don't hit me.
But here's the problem.
I think that's what he's trying to say.
Yeah, but here's the problem.
Even though he doesn't think he was really throwing at
him. Well, that's the part that, Stanton, despite what Yankee fans may feel about him this year, is a really good baseball player, right? He's a slugger. And sometimes to get sluggers out, you have to come up and in.
No, I understand
that. And when Mike Fiers hit him in the face, he didn't do it on purpose.
Right.
I hope that he apologized back then. I'm sure he did.
Well.
Or at least he tried to. Sometimes an apology doesn't work. So standing one breath is saying, he didn't hit me on purpose. I know he's coming up and in. What the hell do you want the guy to do? He can't be afraid of you and just pitch you low and away all the time.
Well.
You got to try to get him out.
I understand. But he did hit him. Now let's hear the John's home run call for Giancarlo off of Fires last night.
Here's the 0-2. Swung on. It goes to left. It is high. Not as far. It is gone. Mike Fires delivered in, and Stanton hit it out in left field. Giancarlo. No si puesto palo. Boy, I don't think that doesn't make him happy. A Stantonian blast, and the Yankees trail 3-2.
I am with you on the celebration part. I have no problem with that.
Well, he didn't even – it wasn't that big a deal. I mean, he flipped the bat. Which is fine.
Yeah.
But when he came back, all right, when he hit the home run, he scores. I mean, he pointed to him, but it wasn't like he looked at him and went like this. You know, he kind of went pointed to him as he was running away from him.
To describe Joe's point –
was a little different.
Giancarlo didn't do the whole Kogan, I'm holding up, point at him.
No, he didn't do that.
He was just, you know – I don't have a problem when a player does that.
No.
Honestly, the only problem I had is I don't understand what you're telling the pitcher. I know you're not trying to hit me. You're coming up and in, but don't hit me. He didn't hit him on purpose,
But I think if he hadn't hit him already in the face, he wouldn't have cared.
Listen,
that's the difference.
Ernie's a smart guy, but you got to listen to his defense.
What do you got,
Ernie? No, it's not bizarre. It's that if you're going to come up and in, be good enough that you know where it's going. Otherwise, don't come up and in. So the guy's got a 5 ERA for a reason because he doesn't know where the ball's going.
Hold on. So you're saying if you're a bad pitcher or a mediocre pitcher, because I think Fires is mediocre. Is that fair? Okay. If you're a mediocre pitcher, you shouldn't try to pitch up and in because you stink?
Because it's dangerous. Because if you don't know where it's going, you shouldn't be coming up and in.
Baseball's dangerous.
Good pitchers can come up and in because they know where the ball's going.
So only good pitchers are allowed to pitch up and in?
Until you know where the ball's going, don't come at my face.
But he's not coming at his face.
He did. He hit him in the face.
He didn't mean to.
It doesn't matter if he didn't mean to. He's not good enough to know where the ball's going.
So if you are not good enough, you cannot pitch inside.
You know what? Let me say this. If you got hit in the face playing any kind of game, you will never forget that guy again.
I agree with that.
I think that's really the big issue here.
No, and I understand. Like, that's the part I get. If he says after the game, listen, I know he's not trying to hit me. I'm not being rational right now, but I don't like this guy. He hit me in the face. Blank him. I understand it more. Instead, he's saying, he didn't hit me on purpose. He's pitching up and in, but if you're going to pitch up and in, make sure you don't hit
me. Let me ask you this.
Well, he didn't hit him on purpose.
Do you think every time that a team retaliates after someone gets hit, they think the other guy did on purpose?
Not every time, no.
No, but they say, be more careful next time. So that's why we're hitting you back.
But the whole be careful thing when anyone else does it, I don't get that either. A lot of guys aren't good. Okay, Mike Fiers isn't good. So because he's not good, he's got to be really good, which he's not, to get Giancarlo Stanton out because Stanton's better than him at baseball. So you got to pitch inside. In 1965, everybody was pitching inside, and they weren't afraid of hitting somebody, whether they were good or not good. Correct me if I'm wrong.
But
we always cite Bob Gibson, but didn't bad pitchers pitch inside too?
But I think the point is it goes back to the fact that the guy, if he had gotten hit by somebody who had not hit him in the face in a previous time, I don't think he's acting the same way.
I agree.
It all comes down to that. It really does.
I guess I'm just curious what
he says anything if it was just a guy, first time he ever got hit by the guy. Okay, fine. He wouldn't have said a word about it.
No, the history definitely added to it. I acknowledge that. I just don't know what you want him to do.
How many times can you accidentally get hit by somebody before it's too much?
Right.
Too much.
Guy hits you more than once after he already hit you in the face and knocked you out for a season. You're going to be like, hey, this guy's hitting me again.
I give Fires credit in that he knows the only way he can get this guy out is by making him feel uncomfortable pitching up and in. He hit him. That's what's going to happen. And that's part of what's wrong with baseball, that pitchers are afraid to pitch inside.
Well, that is
true. I'm so afraid I'm going to hit somebody. Meanwhile, Giancarlo, and I don't want to pick on him because everybody does it, they got this body armor on.
They do.
Like they're about to fight in some
they
boxing
They all do
match.
Wear body armor.
So give me a break.
Yep.
I'm sorry, I'm old school on this.
No,
pitch inside.
I know, I got no problem with pitching inside, but I understand if it was somebody that hit me in the face and cost me a season and, whatever you had to get over to come back and play, because I got to believe you get hit in the head, you get hit in the face, you're going to be a little gun-shy for a while.
Oh, sure.
So I get it. Now, here's a guy that's hitting me again after he already did this. That's the issue.
I get that he got hit. No, I get that part. It's more the explanation he gave after. He didn't hit me on purpose, but that's neither.
I think he was trying to be as diplomatic as he could be. That's what I think.
Fires was not diplomatic.
Well,
he was ripping Giancarlo after the game.
Was he? I didn't hear that.
Shows what kind of guy he is and all that type of stuff.
Come on.
He knows I'm not hitting him on purpose. By the way, All right, and we haven't mentioned this yet, and this should be mentioned all day. Luis Severino's brilliant.
Oh, God.
This freaking guy is brilliant. He lowered his ERA to 2.20. He struck out 10 guys. He gives him 8 innings. He is better now than he was last year.
He's having a great year. I know wins don't matter, but he's got 9. You know, I mean, that's going to look pretty impressive, you know, going forward. If he wins 22, 23 games and he's got an ERA about 2, he's right there for the Cy Young.
Yeah, he just needs...
He's right there.
He needs Verlander to slow down just a
little
bit.
Well, that's it.
that's what he needs.
That's the only thing keeping him from it right now.
I haven't done the math on this, but Luis Severino, every start he's made has been either good to really, really good, except for that one game against the Red Sox.
And unlike the team we root for, with our guy DeGrom, I think the Yankees are like 13-1 in Severino starts.
Yeah, that's correct. They are 12-1
Severino starts. Okay.
And the one game he lost and the team lost was that game against the Red Sox where he got beat up.
Right.
He gave up 5 runs.
Right.
If you take away that one start, he's got to have a sub-2 ERA.
Yeah, sure.
Now, I know
tremendous.
You can't take it away, but I'm just saying it's one really mediocre to bad start. The rest of his starts, he's given up 3 runs once or twice, 2 runs, 1 run, or 0 runs. That's what this guy's done this
year. Right.
He's just been utterly brilliant.
No, he's great.
And another guy who's been utterly brilliant is this Austin Romine, who now I'm sure we're going to get Yankee fans saying, get rid of Sanchez. Romine's the man.
Right. Another pass ball for Sanchez. Get rid of him. Romine's hitting 370 or whatever he's hitting. I know.
But he had a home run yesterday.
He did.
So let's take a listen to Austin Romine.
I heard this call earlier. Go ahead.
Was it a good one?
Yeah.
Here we go.
And the pitch swung on and hit in the air to left center and deep. A long run for everyone. It lands. Gone! It went out in deep left center. That might be the longest home run Austin Romine has ever hit. A 3-run blast to deep left center. Romy, my homie, he drills a 3-run home run. And the Yankees take a 7-1 lead.
Romy, my homie.
Wait a second. This all makes sense now. I was walking past the TV and I heard Jack Curry, I think, on the post game, and all I heard him say is "Romy is my homie." I'm like, "What the hell's
going
on?"
Now you know.
Now I know why Romy is my homie.
Do we have Gleyber Day? Let's
see
a Gleyber Day.
3-1, swung on, hit in the air to right. Back goes Castellanos. He's on the track. He's at the wall. It's gone. He's done it again. Gleyber Torres on Gleyber Day. And like a good Gleyber, Torres is there. He homers to right, and it ties the game at 1.
Stellar. I think that's my favorite.
That's right up there. How about what we got? We got the Greg Bird home run. Let's see it is.
Swung on, hit high in the air to deep right. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. It's bye-bye Birdie in the right field seats. There he comes, the Birdman of New York. He homers to deep right. And the Yankees take a 2-1 lead.
Bye-bye, Birdie.
Can I critique that one?
Very nice.
I would love to
hear... I think
hear...
Ann Margaret was in that.
I think he should sing the bye-bye Birdie
in her
part.
Heyday, may I add.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I think he should sing the bye-bye Birdie part.
There was a lot of hay back then.
Isn't he better singing?
Bye-bye, Birdie. I'm not sure about that song, how that goes, but I think he should sing. I like when John sings.
Oh, it's the best.
Yep.
What I love about the Gleyber call, and this is going to get better every time he hits a home run, is obviously every day is Gleyber Day. That's the joke.
That is very good.
And so he acts surprised like, hey, can you believe it? He hit a home run on Gleyber Day. That's the impression I got from that. Meanwhile,
maybe it's a home run on Labor Day. Can you imagine Gleyber hits a home run on Labor Day?
Oh, he's going to freak
Gleyber
out.
Gleyber on Labor. Right? Something like that. Right? It's Gleyber Day on Labor Day. Something along
Now I'm excited when Gleyber hits a home run.
It's good. It's a great call.
Oh, it is.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.